Well, this year, 2017, marks 10 years since the Blue Mud Bay legal case. Now, it is an historic case in which the Yolngu people of northeast Arnhem Land fought for their Indigenous sea rights in an unprecedented way. On now at the Australian Maritime Museum is Gapu Monarch Saltwater, Journey to the Sea Country. It's an exhibition encapsulating this story with a wealth of information about the land, the language and the culture in question. Helen Arnoux is co-creator. Helen, a very good morning to you.
Thank you, Nick, for having me and good morning to your listeners.
It's a pleasure to have you in. Now, before we get on to the exhibition itself, and I know this is a long question, but give me a little bit of a potted history about what the Yolngu people were fighting for.
Potted is a good word because it really did, you know, the story in itself is monumental and very similar to, you know, many other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and their connections to their land and sea, monumental. It goes back a very long time. So specifically for the story of the Yolngu people from northeast Arnhem Land, referring to the Blue Mud Bay case, you know, that history of proving recognition of ownership actually goes back earlier to the 60s. So when we hear about, you know, the story of and the struggles of Yolngu people, you know, wanting recognition for ownership and connection to their land, stories such as the church panels were painted, the two church panels, the Yirrkala bark paintings or petitions, and then we see the Blue Mud Bay case. They were all demonstrated. You know, their form of legal ownership or occupancy of land was demonstrated through their form of documentation, art. One of the processes of proving, you know, identity is art. The other, of course, is song and dance. So manake or bungal dance, they're all part and one whole part of the cosmos of what is being Yolngu or Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people have that inherent connection as well. Song, dance, art, it's all part of the song line. So forever in a day and forever in millennium, Yolngu people have been doing this, but through and to declare to, you know, the Australian legal system, how are they going to demonstrate to, you know, the Australian legal system and the Northern Territory government and so forth that they had every right to look after country, care for country, and the birth of the Blue Mud Bay case and the beautiful saltwater collection that are the Yirrkala bark paintings of sea country, all of 80, came from that expression of documenting all the way a comprehensive map of that coastline, all the 80% of the Northern Territory coastline, all of the saltwater estates that contained sacred sites. And, you know, the birth of it actually came about in 1996 when one of the traditional owners, Waka Munungur, stumbled across on a routine sort of visit to sacred site, came across an illegal poaching fishing camp there. What was significant about that sacred site, it was the site of the crocodile nest for that particular clan, Baru's nest, Baru the crocodile. So there was a full-on poaching site set up amongst all the litter and refuse there, and a little humpy set up as well, where, you know, pot crabs, you know, the pots and all sorts of things. But there were hessian bags, and inside hessian bags were decapitated heads of crocodiles. So you can imagine, if you spiritually connect to this story, you go to your place of faith, your church, wherever you go to practice your faith, and you find, you know, that desecrated, you know, resemblance of who you worship. So if you put it in that context, the outcry was and could have been much more aggressive.
Yeah.
But what the traditional owner did was he went back to the then and now chair of the arts centre, Jambuwa Marawili, who is also the leader of that clan, Mardapa clan, and he reported what his findings were at the site. So their response was, how are we going to stop? And there had been continual interruptions to sacred sites along the area, invasion into those sacred sites, illegal fishing happening and whatnot, without consultation or liaison with the traditional owners. So people could come in and fish through the Northern Territory fisheries, just come in and fish without permits or you know, liaison with the Aboriginal people, traditional owners. Because they are traditional owners because under the Land Rights Act, they were owners of the land, but it didn't extend to the sea. So the paintings were started within a year. They'd painted the 80 bark paintings. Not an easy feat for Jambuwa to convince all of those clan members all the way up that coastline from Blue Mud Bay to Yirrkala in the centre and right up north to Wessel Islands, up past Elko Island, to convince all of those 47 clan artists, 15 clans, 18 homelands, to paint and reveal their sacred stories, sacred art and patterns. Yolngu people are one of the most unique, have the most unique systems of governance and society, I think, amongst all of our beautiful Indigenous peoples of the world. They have two moieties, Yiricha and Dua. Underneath the whole system of Yolngu and that philosophy and governance and structure, everything has a place. And what is in the centre of that is what's also given as a, you know, your ownership of your identity, markings or patterns, midigi.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually documented and painted in all of the art. So if you look at the art, you'll know who's a Dua moiety or a Yiricha moiety because they have distinct crosshatch markings. It can be painted on the body, on the bark, on your memorial poles or your coffins or whatnot. And some of these examples are in the exhibition as well, contemporary examples of that, as well as in the bark. But we could go on, we only have a short amount of time. But, you know, these 80 barks represent the Yolngu people documenting their saltwater estates and all the Indigenous knowledges behind all of those saltwater estates, or 15 of them, all the way up the coastline. They toured the exhibition in the early 90s, and by the year 2000 it came to the Australian National Maritime Museum, where with the assistance of Steve and Grant and the Grant Peary Gallery, was purchased into the National Collection. So we are a keeping place for those 80, and the Yolngu wanted the 80 paintings to stay together. Because, Nick, they won't ever be produced again, because they revealed for this time and only this time those sacred midigi. So they would have to stay together. Spiritually and legally, their significance, they stay together. So it's a rare opportunity to actually have them, a large number of them out. We have 39
of them out.
Out of the 80.
Wow.
In the exhibition Gapumonok. So it's a great opportunity because, you know, for conservation reasons and whatnot, you can't stay out for a long time. So your opportunity, I guess, to be immersed in it is now.
Is now. Come and see it. It's going to be incredible. I know it's running until February 2018 at the Australian Maritime Museum in Darling Harbour. I think it's pretty exciting. And as you said, it's going to be a very rare opportunity to see these, isn't it?
Yeah, more than art itself. It's also about, you know, going back to the strugglers, how Yolngu people actually expressed their ROM. They call their law their ROM. Their, you know, Aboriginal law into a Western system of law. And after 1996, then in 2002, they approached the Northern Land Council to take on a legal case. They had toured the exhibition, created awareness, understanding, engagement and whatnot. That was beautiful. But then it still actually didn't resolve any issues about access to waters and their tidal waters. So the case then was taken up in 2002, 2004. Federal hearings were heard. Beautifully on homeland as well.
Wow.
The federal court went to the homeland centres, to Yirrkala and Yilpara, which is actually a centre in Blue Mud Bay. And they were conducted in community. And then through all level of court from 2002, 2004, 7 and then 8, we hear the determination of recognition under the Australian legal system in the High Court that Yolngu, you know, recognise the recognition of ownership, and that, you know, permits now then are defunct. It's illegal for anybody to issue permits, Northern Territory government or else. So traditional owners would provide access through the Northern Land Council. And that really just really goes back to looking after country. And that was always the beginning, and the catalyst of the paintings were to prove that they'd always looked after country because they mapped them beautifully. Topographical look, aerial views at saltwater country. All the land formation, all the water flow are marked very beautifully in those fine hair brushes that they use, the mawat. Everything's intricately marked and documented. So there is legal, historical, spiritual, and just stunning as you can get in you know, a title deed, because they were deemed as title deeds and used as evidence in the hearings and case as well.
Helen, it's an incredible exhibition. As you said, it's an incredibly important part of Australian history.
Mm.
We'll have a link up on 2SER.com to make sure people can find details and work out when they can go and see it. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, you're most welcome. And what's more important is, well, it's free to the public as well, because we have to continue that conversation and make it accessible. So, yeah, we look forward to meeting you all down there.
I look forward to heading along myself. Helen, thank you.